If Roe is overturned, more than 20 states already have laws on the books that would immediately ban or severely restrict abortion. They are motivated by the fanatical drive to control and subjugate women. Let us rise together. Let us refuse to let the Supreme Court deny women's humanity and decimate their rights. Let's fight and demand abortion on demand and without apology.
Welcome to the 100th episode of the Refuse Fascism podcast, a podcast brought to you by volunteers with Refuse Fascism. I'm Sam Goldman, one of those volunteers and host of the show. Refuse Fascism exposes, analyzes, and stands against the very real danger and threat of fascism coming to power in this country. Episode 100. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being on this journey with us as we engage, dialogue, and debate with a broad array of writers, scholars, legal experts, and people from different walks of life on the roots, nature, and trajectory of fascism in this country. Together, we are forging understanding and relationships aimed at preventing the consolidation of fascism. And if you're a new listener, go back and listen to some more of the past 100 shows, after, of course, you finish this one. Over the past 100 shows, we are proud to have established with you a strong community of people who care enough about the world to confront the fascist threat head on. In this epic juncture, I want to take a moment to ask you to take one step out and grow the base of listeners, to grow the community to Refuse Fascism. If you listen regularly, take that step to share it, to discuss it, and to contribute to this fight. And if you don't listen regularly, make the Refuse Fascism podcast part of your Sunday routine or Monday morning commute. In today's episode, we're sharing a presentation by Sansara Taylor, given at Revolution Books in New York City on February 17th. It continues to be incredibly timely. As the Supreme Court is poised to obliterate abortion rights in a matter of months unless the people act up to stop it, Sansara Taylor lays bare the truth that forced motherhood is female enslavement and lays out what must be done. Will you give up or rise up? After you listen to it, it's going to be clear why we needed to share it. If you already listened to it once, you attended the event online, you watched clips on our social media, take a moment, listen in full. The day this episode airs, Sunday, February 27th, Sansara, myself, and others will gather with R. Charlie Herrera, Merle Hoffman, City Council member Kristen Richardson-Jordan, Jim Ferrat, Lori Sokol, and others at a speak out in front of St. Patrick's Cathedral to sound the alarm on what is an emergency moment, a state of emergency for women's rights. They're going to be calling on women who suffered before abortion was legalized, along with their daughters, granddaughters, partners, and all who care to speak out, breaking the silence and calling thousands of people to join in the streets on March 8th, International Women's Day in New York City at 3 p.m. at Union Square and nationwide. Some people will also be engaging in nonviolent civil disobedience. And you're going to want to follow at RiseUp4, the number, abortion on Twitter to learn more about that action, to see video, photos, and more. So I'm excited for you to hear this presentation. But first, as always, we got to talk about some developments from this past week as it relates to the rising fascist threat and the importance and impact of standing up against it. First, we got to start with developments from the Fascist Republic of Texas, where Governor Greg Abbott has officially directed Family and Protective Services to begin investigating all trans children in Texas and prosecuting their parents as child abusers. Yep, you heard that correctly. He has also instructed all teachers, doctors, caregivers of all sorts to begin reporting any trans students they see. I thought that author Jeff Yang hit the nail on the head when he tweeted, quote, Abbott is ordering state forces to investigate and prosecute families. He's turning teachers, doctors, and caregivers into state intelligence operatives in the service of defining certain kinds of people as aberrant, inferior, socially unacceptable, end quote. This is fascism. While some have pointed out the hypocrisy that Abbott does not care about quote-unquote child abuse because his laws also force 13-year-old incest survivors to give birth to their rapist babies. This Christian fascist movement has never cared about the babies, has never cared about the children, but hates women and seeks to erase trans and non-binary people from public society. As reported on by Mark Joseph Stern for Slate, quote, right now, in Texas, parents who allow their trans children to receive gender-affirming care may be investigated, punished, and stripped of custody. Teachers and social workers who do not report these parents and children to the state may be fired and criminally prosecuted. Paxton and Abbott have ordered the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services to launch a sweeping investigation into every parent suspected of allowing gender-affirming care for their children, then report their findings. DFPS employees who do not comply may be jailed. Texas persecution of trans minors is similar to SB 8, the abortion ban, in that it delegates enforcement to the general public. Except this time, Texas is using the threat of criminal prosecution rather than a bounty, end quote. Every doctor, every teacher, every person should refuse to comply and publicly resist. And this is not just about Texas. Texas is a harbinger of what the fascist movement aims nationwide. And it is open season on women, on Black people, on trans kids, on everyone and anyone who is not a white Christian male. And as Jeff Charlotte pointed out, we need to take note, quote, I hear some people saying Greg Abbott has declared open season on trans kids and their families. Yes, and he's declared open season on everyone. Fascist pro-suicide laws are anti-human. Don't tisk-tisk from the sidelines, because there are no sidelines now, end quote. Bans on gender-affirming care, like bans on abortion, don't stop people from needing those services. They ruin or even endanger the very lives of the people who need those services. You see, fascists know this, and that's why they do it. Shifting eastward to Florida. For those who aren't following along, Florida Republicans have passed a bill banning abortions at 15 weeks, a la Mississippi, without exception of victims of rape and incest. Governor Ron DeSantis has already expressed his readiness to sign it, but that is not nearly enough for these patriarchal fascists. Andrew Shervell, executive director of Florida Voice for the Unborn, testified advocating for the proposed 15-week abortion ban, saying erroneously that birth control often fails, which results in people seeking abortion. Or in his words, quote, the contraceptive mentality is what fuels the bloodthirsty abortion industry, end quote. They're coming for it all, for abortion, for birth control, for sex education, and always have been, because the fight against abortion has never been about babies. It's always been about the subjugation of women. And they're not going to stop until their Christian fascist assault wins, or unless we defeat them. And that's why on this show, we've been advocating for people to get into the streets nationwide on International Women's Day, Tuesday, March 8th, to rise up for abortion rights, to demand abortion on demand and without apology. So yeah, the Florida State House has been busy turning back the clock, with the Florida House of Representatives passing the quote-unquote Parental Rights in Education, aka Don't Say Gay Bill, and the Stop Woke Bill. What you need to know about the Don't Say Gay Bill is that it's extremely ominous. It prohibits classroom discussions about sexual orientation or gender identity in the state's primary schools. and we can expect that it'll pass the Florida Senate and be signed by DeSantis. It will influence the outcomes of the 15 other bills in 8 states that limit speech about LGBTQ identities in schoolhouses across the country. The Stop Woke bill that the Florida House of Representatives passed is another that we can expect will be passed by the Senate and signed by DeSantis, prohibits schools or private businesses from engaging in lessons, teaching, instruction, training that makes anyone, quote, feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any other form of psychological distress, end quote, on account of their race. Equality Florida put it well in a statement regarding the effects of these bills, saying they will, quote, turn Florida into a surveillance state and give the government broad license to censor conversations about American history, the origins of racism and injustice, and the existence of LGBTQ people, end quote. Floridians need to get in the streets and refuse fascism. We're learning of student walkouts planned via TikTok on March 3rd, and we'll be following this story. If you or folks you know are organizing actions in Florida, please hit us up, let us know about them, DM us on social media. We want to talk to you. Okay, now a little bit of a lightning round of fascist fuckery. House Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke at a white supremacist conference moments before its organizer compared Putin to Hitler and implied that he was saying that in a positive way. Tucker Carlson said that the nomination of Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court degrades America's quote-unquote ancient institutions and threw in a wild dog whistle about Rwanda in a preview of the blatant white supremacy that we are sure to see in the opposition to her nomination. Even as she will likely be seated on the court, it must be kept in mind that the Supreme Court of the United States will remain 6-3 in favor of fascism, making her ascendancy essentially symbolic for the foreseeable future. And our hearts go out to the victims of the fascist shooting in Portland, Oregon, where a deranged pro-cop Trumper fired into a protest against police murder. This is the farthest thing from an isolated incident and must be stopped by defeating this fascist movement. So before we listen to Sansara, it's clear we can't not talk about Russia. And what follows are my personal views, not the views of Refuse Fascism. I'll be honest with you, in this country, when you bring up the subject of Russia, delusional thinking is not confined to the fascists. What I feel we're seeing in the Russian invasion of Ukraine is a new horrific development in a decades-long fight between rival imperialists. Ever since the demise of the Soviet Union, the US and NATO have been aggressively attempting to assert dominance in Eastern Europe, and Russia has been attempting to recover and reassert some level of imperialist power. At its heart, this is a fight between two bloodthirsty imperialist powers, not a fight over democracy. The US and NATO are not innocent in starting this fight and are not an answer that can help the people of the Ukraine or the world. In that context, it should be recognized that Putin is a leading light in the global rise of fascism. The idea that Trump is somehow Putin's puppet has saturated many liberal spaces in the US, promoted by no less than Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi, as well as many other influential people amongst the non-fascist elements of US culture. It's a convenient idea. If that were the case, then the US wouldn't have a fascism problem, just some evil outsider. But it's not true. What is true is that Trump and Putin are both fascists, and the fascist vision of American empire that Trump and his movement are fighting for doesn't see a need to rely on the same allies and the same forms of diplomacy that have defined the foreign policy of the US ruling class for decades. Trump made significant moves to weaken NATO, not to help Russia per se, but because that was in line with his transactional view of foreign policy and support for fascists around the world. This contention within the US ruling class is not a ploy or a joke, but adds to the unpredictability of this very dangerous situation. Most importantly, I want to say my heart is with the people forced from their homes and fighting for their lives and mobilizing against this unjust war, including The thousands in more than 50 Russian cities who took to the streets immediately in response. As people living in the United States, I think it's imperative that we oppose war moves by our government, including sanctions, which the U.S. has used in places like Iraq to kill hundreds of thousands of civilians. We cannot act through the actions of the U.S. government now, which will only hurt the people. The most essential need is to oppose U.S. and NATO military action, and we'll have more on why that is on next week's show. In the meantime, I recommend two articles. One, to help you around these denazify claims, I suggest that you read Jason Stanley's article published by The Guardian titled "The Anti-Semitism Animating Putin's Claim to Denazify Ukraine," and quote-unquote anti-authoritarianism as a quote-unquote cover for supporting U.S. imperialism by Bob Avakian. And you can find that one at revcom.us. Both will be linked in the show notes. In brighter news, we are sending our love to our sisters in Colombia who schooled us on how you win abortion rights. In Colombia, a majority Catholic country, the highest court issued an order decriminalizing abortion. Their heroic, uncompromising, relentless protests in the streets show us what it looks like to fight. As Sansara will get into more, now is the time for the people of this country to stand up and not let the fascists on the Supreme Court decimate abortion rights here. And a big reason why women are losing this right here is that folks are staying home. Let's change this. Let's go. Rise up for abortion rights nationwide, Tuesday, March 8th, International Women's Day. Now, let's listen to Sansara Taylor. She co-initiated Refuse Fascism as the host of the RNL, Revolution Nothing Less show on YouTube, hosts produce We Only Want the World, a radio program on WBAI and WPFW, and has most recently launched the effort Rise Up for AbortionRights.org.
Close to 10 years ago, at a rally that I led at Union Square for abortion rights here in New York City, a woman who was just walking by stopped and listened for a while. She came close to the edge of the stage, and I noticed that she was shaking. So I went over and I talked to her. And she told me, through tears, a story that she had held in silence for probably 40 or 50 years. She told me about being 16 years old, growing up in Biloxi, Mississippi, and how her best friend, also 16, found out that she was pregnant. Her best friend, her family was Catholic, and she was so ashamed, and she especially didn't want to tell her father. Now, I want you to remember what it was like to be 16. I want you to picture your best friend. Think about the hopes you had, the dreams for your future. And now think about the isolation, the shame, the terror you would have to feel at 16 to go and rummage through your father's things. Look for where he kept his gun, take it out, point it at your head, and pull the trigger. This is what this woman's best friend did. This is what it means when abortion, legal, safe abortion, is criminalized and not available. And this is not the only story. That year, I traveled the country with other people, organizing people to stand up and fight against the growing, mounting assault on women's fundamental right to abortion. And every single city we went to, every stop we made, starting here in New York City, going all the way through the Midwest, up to Fargo, North Dakota, through South Dakota, Kansas, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Texas, every stop we made, women came up and they shared stories like this. A woman in Texas told of holding her best friend as she bled to death after a botched back alley illegal abortion. She told of feeling paralyzed with fear as the life left her best friend's body. Fear that if she went to the hospital, they'd both end up in prison. This woman carries a guilt with her to this day. A guilt that is not on her, it's on this state. A woman from Mexico recounted how, as a teenager, she was gang raped, denied an abortion, and forced to have the child of a rapist she didn't even know which one. She described raising this child as an immigrant, as a domestic worker in Texas, living in the shadows, scrambling to raise her son, and having him look at her and ask her his whole life to why she wouldn't talk about his father. She didn't tell her son until he was in his 30s. Think about that. Another woman told the story of lying on a kitchen table in a filthy kitchen while a man she was almost certain was not a doctor molested her. And she laid there and endured it, just hoping that when he was done, he would provide the abortion she came for. Can you imagine being so desperate that you would climb up a dirty, dark staircase and stay and endure a sexual assault in silence because the alternative is worse? This is what it means when women do not have access to safe, legal abortion. And these stories were not just in the past. We heard stories from teenagers in Oklahoma throwing themselves down the stairs to terminate an unwanted pregnancy. We heard stories from women in Jackson, Mississippi drinking Purell, poisoning their bodies, trying to get rid of something that was growing inside of them that would change and shatter their whole lives that they did not want. This was 10 years ago. And in the 10 years between 2011 and 2021, over 500 further abortion restrictions were passed into law. And things have gotten even worse with record restrictions last year. In Texas right now, abortion, there is a near total abortion ban. It has been in effect since last September. I was speaking to a woman, an abortion provider down in Texas a few weeks ago, and she told me, she said, "Sansara, you have no idea the level of atrocity going on down here." And she used that word, atrocity. She talked about girls who were brought into her clinic, victims of rape and incest, and women desperate to terminate their pregnancies they didn't want, who she had to turn away. And you could hear the desperation of these women coming out in this provider's voice. You could hear the tears in her eyes as she shared this. Atrocities. These are things that shatter lives, and they radiate through a lifetime and across the conditions of all women. Now, I want you to think about that. I want to tell another story. I read this story of a woman who was a drug user on the eve of being sentenced to a 5-year prison sentence. And she actually managed to make it to the abortion clinic the day before the Texas restriction went into effect. And she got there, and she was desperate to get the procedure. She already had 3 children at home, and she did not want to have another child in prison. But in Texas, there's a mandatory 24-hour waiting period. And so by the time the waiting period was over, the law was in effect and her procedure was no longer legal. This woman, when she heard this, she dropped to her knees on the cold tile floor in front of the doctor and she begged the doctor to do the abortion. Now think about that. I mean, have you ever dropped to your knees in front of total strangers and begged? Think about what has to be going through your life, through your emotions, through your mind to drive you to that. And this woman was turned away. She was not able to get that abortion. And think about the violence of that. Think about the barbarity of that. This is what it means when there is no access to safe, legal abortion. And now I want you to multiply. I want you to multiply that story by 6 million. That's how many women of childbearing age there are in Texas right now who don't have access to meaningful legal abortion. But I don't want you to stop there. Multiply it by 100 million. That's the number that NPR estimated, the number of people in this country who will lose the legal right to abortion overnight if Roe v. Wade is overturned. Something that the Supreme Court of the United States is actively weighing right now. 100 million. If Roe is overturned, more than 20 states already have laws on the books that would immediately ban or severely restrict abortion. 41% of women of childbearing age in this country will lose the nearest abortion clinic. Nearly every state in the South and most of the large parts of the Midwest. Now, I want you to think about the women's lives that will be foreclosed, the dreams that will be shattered, the women and girls who will be forced to drop out of school, the women who will be trapped in abusive relations, the women who will be driven into poverty or deeper into poverty. I want you to think of the insult and the humiliation and the isolation and the shame that will be inflicted on women and girls. I want you to think of the fear, no, really the terror, that will hang over the lives of all women and girls, because all of them will know that that could be them. Someone else is controlling your body in its most intimate dimensions. Someone else is controlling the most important life-altering decisions of your life. Someone else can even decide to sacrifice your life for the benefit of something growing within you. And in this case, that someone is the state, the laws, the courts, and yes, the prisons, the state, and the supreme decisions that are being made by a pack of fanatical, theocratic Christian fascists on the court. Really think about it. Forced motherhood is female enslavement. Now, sometimes people look at this anti-abortion movement and this whole momentum behind it and they scratch their heads. And they say, it doesn't make sense. If they're so pro-life and they're so against abortion, why don't they support birth control and sex education? Or they scratch their heads and say, if they care about babies so much, why aren't they helping end poverty and health care and child care? But it makes perfect sense. Because this movement has never been motivated by life. They've never been motivated about concern for babies. They are motivated by the fanatical drive to control and subjugate women. Mm-hmm. That is their aim. And it does make sense. And they are also about ending birth control. They're out for revenge at all the ways that women have gotten out of place in their view in the last several generations. They want to slam this backwards. And this theocratic movement is aiming for the rights of LGBTQ people to strip them away and slam them backwards too. If you go outside any abortion clinic anywhere in this country, you will hear them say this straight up. They'll be shaming, harassing, and screaming at women. They say things like, wicked women burn in hell. God hates gays. They quote the Bible, one of their favorite passages, women should submit to their husbands as their husbands submit to the Lord. And they recite this prayer, Lord, please break this curse of independence that has afflicted women. Some of these fascists don't even talk about women. They just refer to host bodies. If you're paying attention, you've heard this in the news, like politicians and mainstream media, host bodies. These people are not going to be satisfied with a patchwork of half the country with the right to abortion and half the country without it. No, they aim for criminalizing all abortions for all women in all circumstances. They aim to send women and those who help them, the doctors, the friends, the family members, anybody else to prison for daring to control their own reproduction. Do you know that just last October, a 21-year-old woman from Oklahoma, a Native American woman, Brittany Pula was convicted of manslaughter and sent to prison for a miscarriage. This is the future these fascists are fighting for. And Brittany is not alone. The National Advocates for Pregnant Women documented 1,254 cases between 2006 and 2020 in which, quote, being pregnant was a necessary element of the crime or a but-for reason for the coercive punishment action, punitive action taken. I'm talking about arrests, detentions, imprisonment for miscarriages, accusations of self-induced abortions, drug addictions that harmed a fetus, all of this and more. This anti-abortion movement has assassinated 11 abortion providers. It has bombed clinics. It has committed arson. It has committed kidnappings. It has invaded clinics hundreds and hundreds of times. Just on New Year's of this year, a Planned Parenthood in Tennessee was burnt to the ground. And it doesn't even make the news. This is the background violence that's been building and normalized in this society, and it is the future that they are bringing not just to Texas and Mississippi, as unacceptable as that will be. They are bringing it, if they succeed, nationwide. This is a Christian fascist, a theocratic, woman-hating movement. And their assault on abortion is the front edge and a battering ram in an all-around fascist program that is infused with white supremacy, with xenophobic hatred of immigrants, with rabid lunatic science denialism. And this movement is making advances on every front. This movement cannot be accommodated. It will not be appeased. It will not stop until they achieve victory or until they are defeated. Why is it that Rise Up for Abortion Rights, the organization and movement I initiated recently together with others, why is this the only movement out there that is calling for mass resistance to this? And the big question for us tonight is, what are we? What is each of us, each of you watching here in this room tonight, each of you online, what are each of us going to do to turn this around? One big reason that people are not standing up right now is they are being misled by the so-called leaders of the so-called women's movement. And this has to be called out. These so-called leaders are capitulating in advance. And they're hitting the snooze button and telling everybody else not to be too alarmed. This is what they're doing. Yeah, they dress it up. Some of them say things like, we're teaching women how to induce their own abortions. We're going to spread the abortion pill that you can get through the mail, at least for now, for after Roe falls. Or they say things like, we're raising money to help women travel from one state to another so that they can get abortions when it gets criminalized where they are, for after Roe falls. Or they say things like, and this one really gets me, we're passing proactive legislation to protect abortion in our own local area. You hear this a lot in New York City. I get the emails, good news, we're making advances for after Roe falls. Do you know that the National Institute for Reproductive Health actually put out a report last year that was titled, I can't make this up, Gaining Ground in 2021. They write, despite historic setbacks, states passed more proactive legislation in 2021 than ever before. This momentum must continue, end quote. 2021, the year of the most anti-abortion restrictions passed into law ever before. 2021, the year that Texas obliterated abortion rights for 6 million women of childbearing age. 2021, the year that the fascist-packed Supreme Court considered the abortion ban out of Mississippi that could gut or obliterate abortion rights nationwide and indicated that they were willing and ready to do so. 2021, keep this momentum going? This is so harmful. It is so disorienting. It is so pacifying. It is so dishonest. This is not proactive. This is capitulation with a smiley face put on it. These so-called leaders of the so-called women's movement are so enslaved to this system that they are willing to enslave women. But we must not be. And let's be clear. If people lie down and accept the fall of Roe, how much longer will it be before black people are slammed backwards in the same way? Look at what's already being done by the same fascist-dominated Supreme Court to voting rights. And look right here in this city how they are trying to bring back the terror of stop and frisk and re-intensify racist police terror, yes, with a new face, Eric Adams. This too, if people capitulate, if people bow down, all of this gets accelerated. Now here's another piece of deadly bullshit that's being pushed out by the so-called woke crowd that needs to be called out. A lot of people, you talk about abortion rights, they just have a lot of woke bullshit, and we've taken a lot of it on at revcom.us, and I urge you to go read it. I'm not going to recount all of it tonight. There's more that's been taken on by other people involved in riseupforabortionrights.org. Go to the website, read about it. But here I want to touch on just one dimension further of this woke bullshit, which is people who say, oh, abortion, now that's a white women's issue. If you're around for 2 minutes in this struggle, you're going to hear that. And this is bullshit. We have to be clear, already black women and other women of color are hit the hardest by the anti-abortion restrictions that are already in effect. Mississippi is a state with one abortion clinic. In the entire state, 80% of the women who need to go to that clinic are black. Black women live disproportionately in poverty, have disproportionately poor access to sex education, decent birth control, and basic health overall. They need abortion at higher rates because of this. They are disproportionately impacted when abortion is taken away. And then they're demonized on top of this. They are told that they are carrying out genocide against black babies for deciding for themselves when and whether to have children. This is a lie. It is a racist lie. And it is a shame and a weight put on black women that is especially vicious. And if women are forced to have children against their will, black women face death in childbirth at a rate of 2 to 3 times higher than white women. So let's not pretend. This issue hits all women. It hits all women, from the top of society all the way down to the bottom and everywhere in between. But it hits black women at every part of this society and other women of color especially hard. So another thing that comes up that I want to speak to, and it's concentrated in a sign that sometimes you see at pro-choice or abortion rights protests or even other protests, and it's often held by women of a certain age, and it's a good sign. And they have the sign, you've probably seen it, that says, I can't believe I'm still having to fight this shit. And I wanted to bring this up because it raises the question, why are we still having to fight this shit? 50 years, almost 50 years after the right to abortion was won. Now, the full answer to this question goes beyond what I have time to get into in the scope of tonight's presentation, but I want to say just a couple of things. First, this woman-hating fascist assault is rooted in the very system we live under, the system of capitalism imperialism. And this system has patriarchy, that is, the oppression of women by men, woven into its fabric and foundation. And ending this oppression, finally breaking all the chains that bind women and all the chains on humanity, is going to take overthrowing this system, a real revolution. Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader and architect of the new communism, has done path-breaking work and advanced humanity's understanding on scientifically understanding why and how this is so. And Bob Avakian, BA, has also brought forward a strategy to make this revolution. And he's forged, as Emma said before, a concrete vision and blueprint for a new socialist society, a far better liberating society that would replace this one after the revolution. And Bob Avakian is actively leading now in advancing the fight for revolution in this era. And here I want to read something that is a hallmark from Bob Avakian and his work. It's from his book, Basics. And it gets to the heart of what this whole question involves. It's Basics 322. It's a great book. You should get it. You cannot break all the chains except one. You cannot say you want to be free of exploitation and oppression, except you want to keep the oppression of women by men. You cannot say you want to liberate humanity, yet keep one half the people enslaved to the other half. The oppression of women is completely bound up with the division of society into masters and slaves, exploiters and exploited. And the ending of all such conditions is impossible without the complete liberation of women. All this is why women have a tremendous role to play, not only in making revolution, but in making sure it is all the way revolution. The fury of women can and must be fully unleashed as a mighty force for proletarian revolution. So tonight, and as we go forward in this struggle, which I am challenging and counting on each and every person listening tonight to become part of, I am going to invite and challenge you to dig into the work that Bob Avakian has done, to go to the website revcom.us and get into this and other works he's put out, and to read revcom.us and watch the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, which I co-host with Andy Z every week, where I and other followers of Bob Avakian bring alive and dig into the burning question of the liberation of women and the fight around abortion, as well as other burning questions of the revolution every single week. Get into it. It's at youtube.com/therevcom. Subscribe. But as I do this, I'm also going to fight to unite everybody very broadly. Unite all who can possibly be united in this fight. People from very different political perspectives and outlooks, including people who don't share my revolutionary outlook, and even people who are opposed to it. And I think you need to do this too. We need to take this fight to defeat this juggernaut of female enslavement that is rolling towards women in this country and it will radiate around the world. We need to take this fight out and recruit people into it everywhere, far beyond the so-called movement. There are millions and millions of women at all levels and in all sections of this society whose positions and accomplishments or mere survival has hinged on access to abortion. We need to fight to get the RiseUpForAbortionRights.org statement out all over society. And we need to use every day between now and March 8th to build for and organize people to come out and fill the streets on March 8th. International Women's Day. Here in New York City, it will be 3 p.m. at Union Square, and there's other rallies being planned around the country, and we need to turn this city out. We need to be there and gather others to declare we refuse to let the U.S. Supreme Court deny women's humanity and decimate their rights. Abortion on demand and without apology. We need to fight to make these protests so massive, so determined, and so filled with the fury of people who refuse to bow down that they are powerful enough to wake up and shake millions more people to then join us in the streets in even greater numbers in the days and weeks to come. We need campuses walking out. We need people speaking out in the arts and the sciences. We need to be filling the streets not once in a symbolic protest and go home, but relentlessly and in growing numbers until we make clear to the fascists on the Supreme Court and everywhere else throughout society, that if you try to take this right away, your society will be prevented from functioning at all. Mm-hmm. So like Lori Sokol said in the video that we began with, if not now, when? And if not you, who? And don't tell yourself it cannot be done. Look down in Mexico. Look at the fury and the fierceness of the women who stood up relentlessly, over and over and over again, pouring forward their outrage and their refusal to submit to the criminalization of abortion, and watch how that fell. Or look down in Argentina again. Thousands and thousands of women stood up again and again and again in the face of repression. They rocked their society and they inspired the world, and they won the right to abortion last year. And look in Poland as well, where some of the most heroic, courageous women have stood up and rocked that society, filled the streets with fury, defied the church and the state. And no, they haven't won yet. But that fight is not over, and because they are standing up, there is still a chance to win it. Now is the time. I want to close with the words from the Rise Up for Abortion Rights statement. Now is the time to hold nothing back. Now is the time to rouse thousands and soon millions in struggle so that we can look every woman and girl in the eye with the promise, in word and deed, that they will have a future as full human beings, not incubators. Now is the time to stand up together as if our lives depended on it, for in fact they do. Let us rise together. Let us refuse to let the Supreme Court deny women's humanity and decimate their rights. Let's fight and demand abortion on demand and without apology.
A link to the video of Sansara's powerful presentation can be found in the show notes. Join Sansara along with me, formerly known as Lee Bansler, Betty, Kathy Najimy, Gloria Steinem, Reverend Jackie Lewis, and others Tuesday, March 8th. That's International Women's Day. They'll be in New York City at Union Square at 3 p.m. or find a protest near you at riseupforabortionrights.org. Thanks for listening to Refuse Fascism. Thanks to all who are spreading, joining the conversation on social media, talking about the pod with your network, sharing your thoughts, ideas, questions, connections, and art with us. Keep it coming. As an independent weekly podcast, we rely solely on your support. So please, especially on this 100th episode, chip in if you're able. And be sure to let your friends and loved ones know that you support this show and movement. Review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Let people know you support Refuse Fascism. Post it on your social media, share it via email, or literally put it on your forehead with our Refuse Fascism meanies available at refusefascism.org and start the conversation. And of course, be sure to follow, subscribe, so you never miss an episode. Thanks to incredible volunteers, we have transcripts available for each episode, so be sure to visit refusefascism.org and sign up to get them in your inbox each week. Mort, Deborah, Jan, thank you for helping make our show more accessible. Thanks to Coco Das, Richie Marini, Lena Thorne, and Mark Tinkleman for helping produce this episode and 100 shows. We'll be back next Sunday. Until then, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America.